The views and opinions expressed on the following program are that of the host and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM.
To get back to the warning that I've received, you may take it with however many grains of salt you wish, that the brown acid that is circulating around us is not specifically too good. It's suggested that you do stay away from that. Of course, it's your own trip, so be my guest. But please be advised that there is a warning on that one, okay?
CJAM 99.1 FM, keeping your radio in a constant state of redefinition, and now reaching higher ground in Windsor and Detroit.
You're listening to Wind City Sports
on CJAM
99.1 FM.
Now reaching higher ground in Windsor and Detroit. Yo, what's good, everybody? You're listening to CJAM Radio 99.1 FM. We're now reaching higher ground in Windsor and Detroit. You're listening to Windsor's only local sport podcast, Wind City Sports, with your host, as always, Drake DeMore. Wind City Sports is here on CJAM every Thursday with new episodes live at 8 p.m., replays on Mondays at 12 noon p.m., and you can hear all of our old shows on soundcloud.com/WindCitySports or on CJAM.ca. We also have a Facebook and Twitter account and now an Instagram account. We'll talk all about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. Today is Thursday, October 5th, 2017, and episode 66 of Wind City Sports. Our Windsor Spitfires are playing at the WFCU Center right now. They are taking on the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, coming off of their first loss of the season, the Spitfires, that is, after last week at the WFCU, taking on the Kitchener Rangers and Logan Stanley, who played with us last year, the last couple of years, actually. He is a Kitchener native. If you missed that, he was traded back home to Kitchener, and he returned to Windsor last week, where he handed Windsor their first loss of the regular season, probably into the first intermission or second period right now of that game. And we have a little bit of news in regards to them and some other sport news, some local sports news to talk about later on after the interview portion of this week's show. Speaking of which, earlier this week I was able to sit down and have a phone conversation with a local professional mixed martial arts fighter. It's Kyle Prepperlick on Wind City Sports this week. We talk all about his training career in martial arts, how he got into it, where he began training, and how he ended up training at MTC Maximum Training Center here in Windsor. We talk a little bit about the current amateur ban on mixed martial arts, kickboxing, and even jiu-jitsu, if you didn't know. I actually just learned this myself shortly before I spoke to Kyle. We talk about fighting professionally, a little bit about the upcoming card that UFC is holding at the new Little Caesars Arena, and everything MMA in general, one that every fight fan is going to want to hear. But before we get into that interview, we have two orders of business that we need to take care of that we do every week here on Wind City Sports. First off, it's our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week. First, from our women's golf team, it's Emily Stater, and from our men's volleyball team, Pierce Johnson. Emily had a great round at the McMaster Invitational this past Thursday in Hamilton. The veteran Lancers shot a 79 and finished second overall to claim the individual silver medal while leading the Lancer women to the overall team title. While the second-year outside hitter Pierce Johnson, who is from Chatham, was named the Humber Cup MVP in dominating fashion, Pierce had 20 points in the 3-1 victory in the final versus York to cap off an amazing tournament where he was an incredible plus 56 in the Lancers' six matches over the weekend. So congratulations to the two of them on becoming our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week for this week. And now, once again, before we get to Kyle Prepperlick's interview, We have to take a minute to play a PSA from CJAM, the things that keep us alive, to keep doing the shows that we do on CJAM, like Wind City Sports, and like all of our music-based programs. Also, speaking of keeping CJAM alive, Pledge Drive Week is coming up very soon, and we'll be talking a little bit about that towards the end of the show. So sit tight in a few moments. It's Kyle Prepperlich of MTC Windsor. Don't go anywhere.
There are so many ways to listen to CJAM FM. You can hear us at 99.1 FM on your radio dial, stream us online anytime at www.cjam.ca, or download archives from the website to take with you on your preferred listening device. You can tune in on Cogeco Cable 285 or download the U Windsor app and click on the CJAM button. But no matter how you tune in CJAM 99.1 FM, we're reaching higher ground in Windsor, Detroit, and beyond.
Again, thanks for joining me, and we're just going to tell your story to start off, right? For the people that may not know who you are, and even the people that do know who you are, get them to know you a little better. Like I said, I want to know your story, like how you got into martial arts, why, when, all that stuff. Just tell me all about it.
About 12 years ago, since I started, I first started out with boxing because I was playing hockey and I wanted to get a little more tougher, and then I realized, you know, hockey's not for me, and I enjoyed boxing way more than I did hockey, and I didn't have to worry about a team, even though I liked doing the team stuff, but I just more had to focus on myself, so which was a lot better for me anyway.
Yeah.
But a few years after that, after boxing, I told my parents, you know, this is what I want to do and compete. They weren't cool with it at first, and I'm like, okay, so the high school, I went to Riverside High School, and I was like, well, I'll wrestle then, like, I'll do that. So I started doing that for a couple of years, and then graduate, and then started off at Mateys, then went into kickboxing, and then did a couple, you know, like kickboxing fights and karate tournaments, and then I was like, yeah, I'm ready for MMA, and then had some MMA fights. And how we got into Mateys was actually because of my buddy Sheldon. So then we all went together, and we all still go and train together and do all kinds of craziness together. So
that's cool.
Yeah, made a big move and after Mateys, and then now I'm at Maximum Training Center on Dougal and been there since year 2010. So I've been there for going to be almost 8 years.
Oh, wow. So you started fighting even in MMA before MTC or what?
Yeah, my amateur career was mostly with Mateys for a couple of years. And then I switched gyms just because they had more to offer. Mm-hmm. As like to the full complete mixed martial arts gym with like wrestling and like jiu-jitsu and everything. So I had to go where the time was going. I couldn't just stay in one area, right? So I had to grow.
Yeah.
So
well, let's go back a little bit then, because you said 12 years ago, about 12 years ago, you started getting into training at least. And that's a different time in the world in general, but especially in like the martial arts world too, right?
Yeah.
That's when it was really starting to get very popular. Ultimate Fighter, I think, is 2005, 2004. Around the time that we're talking about. So that's how the transition from Mateys to a MMA standpoint kind of came to be, the mentality at least, right? Like you said, you've seen the world expanding, so you kind of had to go with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like you had to like grow, like you have to accept, like, yeah, you had to adapt, you have to accept like change, right? You can't just stay at one thing, everything continuously growing. So it's good to, you know, cross train and go to different gyms, like a boxing gym or kickboxing gym, wrestling, etc. Right? You want to grow. You want to get good at every single thing possible and stay like as best you are with your traditional martial art or whatever you start with.
That for you would be karate. You still, like I said, you still train a little bit and you're still kind of true to that culture that they have.
I only did, like, I wasn't, like, any, like, crazy karate guy. I was just more of, like, I just did the tournaments just to get more experience.
Yeah.
But I was more of a kickboxer and, like, a wrestler. But now I've totally, like, adapted more into more footwork and boxing and kickboxing and everything and getting better at jiu-jitsu. So everything's becoming more well-rounded and being a special, like, mixed martial artist at everything and being more complete.
Yeah, that's the way it has to be, right?
Yeah, everyone's nowadays is good at everything, and you got to try. And it's all about pretty much game plan and where you can pick apart the person and do what you can do to get the fight done and take control of that person.
Yeah. So obviously we're talking a little bit differently now. Like I said, you've been training for 12 years, so your skill and everything is just going to grow and you're going to adapt like you're talking about. But I found it pretty cool and interesting when you said, like, you know, I wanted to get into it just because you had, like, you've seen UFC and stuff. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
So you're
yeah.
I want to get, that's what I want to do. So when you had some boxing experience, but you thought, hey, I'll do wrestling at Riverside High School because I know that's an aspect of it, right? A lot of people, especially I think back then, and like I wasn't around that then as an adult, but I still find a lot of people think that like to be an MMA fighter, you got to just be tough and know how to punch and kick, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I thought that it was cool that you said, I'll give wrestling a try. Let's get that, because that's in my opinion, a huge aspect of the game and a huge aspect to have.
Oh, big time. It's one of, like, wrestling is one of the biggest, like, if you look at all the champions, it's mostly wrestlers.
Yeah.
Wrestlers and good strikers. That's it.
Yeah. So that's
it,
that cool.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah, right on. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit about your amateur career that you touched upon, kind of with Mateys and kind of bounce it around between gyms because, you know, the styles and what was going on back then. But kind of generally sum it up. Did you fight a lot here in Ontario and Michigan as well, or what was just the experience like?
The experience was great. You know, you get to see all these, like all the people you get to see, and obviously you get to travel wherever. A lot of the fights, like, during the amateur career was mostly, like, there's a couple fights in Sarnia back in the day for, like, XCC. A lot of them were in Detroit, Michigan for all these different organizations because it's huge in the States, right? So, but there's a couple that would happen in London at a couple native reserves and on another one that was a little further on Walpole Island as well, which a lot of us, like me and a few of my teammates, have fought there.
Wow. That's funny. I actually went to school in Sarnia, so it's funny you mentioned that, and I'm quite familiar with Walpole Island.
Yeah, so
it could probably be quite the environment fighting out there. So I wanted to talk about kind of between the two in regards to Canada and Michigan. Even when you get to pro, do you find a big difference in fighting in front of the two crowds?
Yes and no. There's a little bit of a difference, but nothing. If anything, it's more like they're more like amped up for it.
Yeah.
Whereas like Canada, we're like reserved, but we're still like we're just as pumped up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, I've seen that here.
Yeah, like in the States, it's like if you're exciting, they don't care who wins. They just want, you know, that excitement, right? Mm-hmm. Where here, obviously, everyone picks whoever. It's pretty much the same deal.
Yeah.
So,
well, especially in amateur, you might not know who a lot of the guys are, right? So a lot of the people are just going to see fights.
Yeah. There a lot of the guys, like, at the level that we're at and, like, upcoming, like, especially when you just start, it's usually a lot of family and friends. And then every time you keep fighting, they're like, oh, this familiar face again. And, you know, you grow that, you know, all that reputation, and then everyone's like, yeah, let's watch this guy, this is awesome, this guy's on this card too. And then even as like fellow fighters, like we watch people on the same cards from when we start to the other time, we're like, oh hey, like how's it going, you know, like it's crazy, you're on this card too, all right, put on a show, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you were talking about like having to travel for like the tournaments and stuff. It's kind of cool, like all the connections you make just from going to tournaments and going to competitions like that. Like I've known guys that like from JITS tournaments that just like you see them one time, you see them again, and I don't, you know, really know the guys, but that's how we're acquainted. And even some of like affiliate coaches, sometimes you see them, you could be anywhere, you could be in Toronto or in the States and run into people. So I just think that's cool, and it could make a big difference making connections, right?
Oh, big time, because you never know who or like what that person knows or who they know or what they can do for you too. So.
Yeah. So actually you guys, MTC and I'm pretty sure Reno specifically was the promoter on a lot of events here in Windsor and surrounding area, London, Sarnia. And unfortunately, actually right now we have a little ban on amateur MMA in Ontario. Can you just give me your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that whole ban on, because it's even jiu-jitsu tournaments too, like amateur MMA and...
Yeah, I was reading up on it today and I seen jiu-jitsu and I was like, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't know if it's like a whole money thing, like a money grab. I have no idea. I think it's absurd. Because first it was like almost impossible to get pro shows in Canada. It's like, how do you, or not Canada, Ontario, how do you get, you know, these up-and-coming guys from Ontario to the big show if you can't promote them from organizations and getting fights? They can only fight like once or twice a year. So all these guys from Ontario, we got to travel to the States. We got to travel to Quebec, you know, Alberta, you know, sometimes Japan or Brazil. We have to go everywhere, right? We got to get out there if we're trying to reach our goal.
Yeah, it's like they're going backwards, you know, like New York finally had their ban lifted or whatever a year or two ago, and now we're going back to amateur and taking that away. You know, it's just kind of, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we have all the rules, regulations, and, you know, everyone has to, you know, do their blood work, you know, eye exam, make sure, you know, you got to make sure the fighters are healthy. So it's like we're still taking precautions and making sure everyone's, you know, healthy and safe, because we don't want any, like, inside the cage tragedies or outside of it after, like, a fight. We want everyone to be healthy. Like, yeah, it's a combative sport. It's extreme. It's violent. But at the same time, it's also, we're very, like, strict, and we want everything to be as safe as possible as it can be for a combat sport.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. It's these events are to showcase these athletes and to give them experience competing against, you know, different people from different places. So, you know, without that, like you said, how can you do it? How can you get to the next step?
Yeah, so that's, yeah, like I was saying, like everyone around here in Ontario, we all got to travel. We all got to, you know, get to those other leagues and, you know, either do get locked in a contract or, you know, do one fight deals and see where you can go. Luckily for, you know, people in Windsor and like London, we can go to like, we can go to Michigan and pretty much driving distance wherever we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And fight all those shows if we need to.
Yeah. Like, it is good to have options to travel to, even speaking outside of Windsor, because for a while there, when you guys were running events, and even the boxing events, which actually I want to talk about a little bit, we've had people from Ohio, New York, Chicago, wherever, traveling to Windsor because it's out there. You know, anytime that there's an opportunity for these people to do what they do, I feel that everyone wants to capitalize on it. So you're taking it right out of our home and somewhere that really is... it's not a central location, but a great location. Like I'm saying, you can go to Michigan, to Ohio. People from all around Ontario and Canada can come down this way. And it's fortunate that they're taking it away, really.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's absurd. I think it's crazy that they would do that. It's like, man, yeah. How are people supposed to grow? You know, like, because not everyone can afford to travel. Not everyone, you know, and it's not like, I don't know, specifically in details, if some amateur organizations will do that, where they will fly people out, I don't know, but all I know is, like, it's not cheap, so.
Yeah, that's for sure. One question I want to ask, so talking about this ban, I just feel that, like, the sport itself, however you want to label it, it's just too rich and really ancient for it to be completely eliminated, and I'm sure that it's going to find its way back, that someone or a group of people are going to do something. I think of the Olympics being, or sorry, wrestling almost being taken out of the Olympics and the way people reacted to that. So what do you think? Do you think that we're going to see MMA in Ontario again?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, it's only a matter of time until everything gets figured out. Like,
yeah.
we have a few months till the new year, and in that time, big things can happen, right? Like, I don't know exactly when the change is going to happen. Like, I know there's being talks made about everything and the new whatever regulations they're going to go through, but it'll be back. Like, it's the fastest growing sport, like everybody says. Like, there's all these people that want to compete, and all these people, I know there's petitions being signed, you know, to get these things back, because how else were you going to grow?
Yep.
You know, like,
yeah, I signed one for the Maple City cage fighting there. That's how,
yeah.
I really, like, pretty much found out, was because they were supposed to have a card, and then the next day, or not the next day, but one day, all of a sudden, hey guys, card's canceled till further notice came, but it's not coming anytime soon. So I was like, why, what's going on? So that's how I really came to see it.
That was pretty much when, because my one teammate Shane was supposed to fight.
That's
on
right.
That.
Yes, that is right. A couple of ours were too, so
yeah, like there was people from Central, MTC, and Hybrid, you know, like, we're all had people ready to go, and then all of a sudden, sorry guys, like,
yeah,
so not a, and it's, yeah, it's like these amateurs aren't getting paid, you know, so like all that time training, all, and some of these guys are cutting weight, you know, like, and then it kind of almost feels, well, it was almost like a waste of time, but you never know what could happen, right?
No, you always want to be ready, but I do feel bad for the people that were anticipating to fight in a week or two, and now aren't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you feel for them because it's like, man, all that work and then all the people I want to go watch and support and, you know, everyone wants to put on a show and, you know, all those guys want to, you know, accomplish their dream and they want to put all their hard work and perform and do what they do best.
Absolutely. And now there's something you might be able to help me with a little bit. So obviously we've got kickboxing, MMA in general, and jiu-jitsu, which I just learned today, currently being banned. But correct me if I'm wrong, boxing is still open, like still free, right? I'm sure you can still run boxing events.
Yep, I'm firm from what I know, you can still run boxing events because mm-hmm. that's still like because boxing's been around forever, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's not as
well. That's
as
what
crazy.
I'm saying. Like the combat sports have been around forever, so that's what we're saying. I'm sure it's going to be back, right? But in the meantime, like the guys that are trying to showcase their skills and get the experience, do you think that competing in a boxing match would be beneficial to them in this time?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think so, because it's the whole sport, right? We have to do everything. You have to do boxing. You have to do wrestling. You have to do kickboxing. You have to do Muay Thai. You have to do jiu-jitsu. You know, you have to do all martial arts, and then, you know, make yourself that much better of a fighter. You have more tools in your arsenal.
Yeah, and you get to get that experience in front of the crowd and everything else that goes with actually competing and fighting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little bit about more yourself fighting. You transitioned into professional fighting whenever it was. And what was the transition like going from amateur to pro?
Pretty much like the level of competition. Mm-hmm. It changes because everyone's at that next step. It's a lot more serious. Like, even though amateur fights are still serious, but there's more like on the line. Like, the amateur record doesn't transfer over into pro. So it's pretty much you start over and... This is all for real. Everything's kept, and this is all on your stats. This is there for you forever. So it's the crowds are more intense. Everything's run a little bit differently depending on organization. It's like a next level of like mm-hmm. you get this weird like aura of it's like excitement and like adrenaline. You're just like, oh sweet, all right, this is mm-hmm. what it's like.
Yeah, so it's a lot more serious, and then you kind of have a this is it feeling, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
But just what has the journey been like so far competing professionally? You got to compete for Bellator, which is now like just under UFC, like the biggest MMA promotion. Just what's the journey been like as a professional fighter?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just like life, right? There's a lot of ups and downs, but it's, you know, if you're a fighter, yeah, a lot of other people like understand. Everyone, you can put yourself in, like, the situations, too. It's, like I said, it's a lot of ups and downs, but it's like, you don't regret anything that you're doing, pretty much. At least with me, I know that's how I feel, like, you know, like you said, I fought in Bellator, and that was only my second year I was pro, and I fought in that organization. And ever since then, that experience from that big show to fighting, you know, those top-level guys to where I am now is really like up and down. Like it's crazy. Like you go from, you know, the second organization in the world to fighting. Like my last fight was King of the Cage, and King of the Cage has been around. Oh, yeah. That used to be like the gateway to UFC was King of the Cage.
Yeah. Late 90s, so they were big, eh?
Yeah, big time. Like they were out there. So like all of like the best fighters you could think of fought in King of the Cage, like Joe Stevenson, like Diego Sanchez, Uriah Faber, like all those guys, like almost every, like a lot of the UFC fighters from back in the day and even now fought on those cards. So it's pretty cool. Like you fight in these like shows, you know, however big of a name you get during, depending on your record and skill and style and, you know, how exciting you are. And if you are a good tickets like seller, like, you know, you sell tickets because people want to watch you compete. You go from, you know, these little organizations to just being, you know, your average fighter, you're on the show, to being, hey, this guy's exciting. We need him on the card. Let's get him matched up and let's get a great show, you know, and then mm-hmm. try to promote you and get you to that next level and then get you to the big show.
And that's how a lot of guys have found success.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They, you know, you got to travel around and then, like,
get your name out there, basically.
Yeah, because you got to market yourself. You are your own person to market, like mm-hmm. you're an entrepreneur, you know?
Yeah, there's something we always talk about. Like, I think you touched upon it too, is like you're training with your team, but when you go out there, it's an individual thing, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So obviously, I think I'm not going to speak for you, but I think UFC is the goal. Is that your end goal in your MMA career or what?
Oh yeah, UFC's always been like the goal and dream since I like pretty much was at Mateys. It was just like, yeah, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to get there. I want to make it, you know, like I want to make a career out of it, make a career out of fighting, and, you know, make a good living, just like a lot of some of those guys in there, right? Just try to live the dream.
Yeah. Like I say, you want to make a living off what you do and what you love to do, right?
Yeah, that's it, man. Exactly.
Yeah. And before we kind of wrap it up, you see the main was announced for Detroit? You got
No, I
didn't see it. Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar.
Oh, that's an amazing, that's already amazing headline because those two are beasts. So
I don't know if they're gonna double title it up, double main event, but I'm pretty certain they said it's the main. But it's a title fight, right? So it's gonna be up there. That's gonna be awesome to see. We're kind of hoping that we can make it out to the show itself.
Yeah, because it's been I think 7 or 8 years as well since they've been last in Detroit when they were at, I think it was the Palace when Rampage fought Machida.
Yep, I wanted to go to that. That was a long time ago now that I think about it. You're right. I think it was 2010.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And if you look at that card back in the day, like, and you look at it now to all those fighters, if you look at them now, you're like, oh my God, that guy fought on that card? This is crazy.
I know. You know, actually, I heard there was a lot more fights in the crowd than there was in the octagon that night.
Oh, it was nuts. Because I went with my family to watch.
Go?
Yeah, Me and my family and friends, we all went. And we're like, oh my God, this is nuts.
Wow, that's funny. All right, dude. Well, let's wrap it up here. Do you have anything upcoming, any fights announced or any rumblings, anything going on? Or are you just training in the gym? What's happening right now in your life?
Well, ever since the last fight, before the fight started, I had that little leg incident. So I couldn't, that's why we couldn't do this interview before.
You
want
to touch upon that? I mean, I didn't want to be like, hey, man, what happened to you? You know, but if you want to touch upon that a little bit.
Yeah, so I really don't know what happened. What the doctor said, I was put into rhabdo and my CK levels were super high and it was really dangerous because pretty much what they said was my muscles were breaking down, releasing toxins into my bloodstream, which if I wasn't on IV, it could have done serious damage to my kidneys and to my heart. I could have had a heart attack or kidney failure. Had no idea. My legs were having spasms and cramps and swelling. I didn't know it'd go that crazy. So, hopefully... Yeah, it was crazy. All news to me. I was just worried about my legs. I had no idea about the other stuff. But October 11th, I go back to the doctor to see if I get some answers because we're trying to get back in November for one of the shows in Quebec. And then if not in November, then hopefully early December, get back in another one for Quebec.
All right, man. Awesome. We're hoping the best for you and hoping you recover. Like I said, man, I didn't know what was going on, but I'm not about to dig into your personal life. So I hope the best for you, man. Hope the best, and hope to see you back in the octagon and just keep doing what you do.
Yeah, thank you, man. Sure enough, I'll be back soon enough. All healed up and ready to rock, everybody.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Wind City Sports on CJAM 99.1 FM. We just heard from professional mixed martial artist out of MTC Windsor, it's Kyle Prepelik. Back-to-back on Wind City Sports, two great interviews, had a lot of fun doing this one as well, and it ran a lot longer than anticipated, so we're not going to have a lot of time to talk about our local sport news, but I do want to mention if you missed it, Sean Day is back to the Windsor Spitfires, who are playing right now at the WFCU Center, which we were talking about at the top of the show. They are playing the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds right now. The Windsor Express have also picked up a huge signing and made some transactions throughout the league. Check out both Windsor Spitfires and Windsor Express social media or websites for all information and news on them, as well as thewindsorstar.ca, as well as Wind City Sports on all social media platforms. That being said, we'll begin to wrap things up this week on Wind City Sports. We're here every Thursday on CGM live at 8 p.m. with new episodes, replays on Mondays at 12 noon p.m., and you can hear all of our old shows on soundcloud.com/WindCitySports. Even if you miss this show right now, it'll be up in a matter of moments. We're also on cjam.ca with the last 5 or 6 episodes. We have a Twitter account, a Facebook page, and now an Instagram account. Follow us at Wind City Sports CJAM on Instagram. Simply search Wind City Sports on Facebook, and you should be able to find us as well on Twitter. Our handle is at WCSCJAM. So that's going to be all. Until next week, smell you later.